You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 1, where we left off last time. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to again invite every prayer warrior in the United States of America to join me each Wednesday at 6 p.m. for effectual fervent prayer for President Donald Trump and for America. We have the word first and then we pray. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast. And now the great book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 1. I'm entitling this, "The Stone Which the Builders Rejected is Building His Church," Amen. Parentheses, "and not the gates of hell shall prevail against it," parentheses. Amen. Now, the 12 apostles had obeyed Jesus. They'd gone into the upper room and waited for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came with cloven tongues of fire and baptized them. Then Peter got up and preached the word of God, and 3,000 more people were added to the 120 there, and the church grew. And then there was a miracle. A man at the gate beautiful who was lame from birth was healed. Peter said, "Arise in the name of Jesus and walk." And he got up and walked. And then some more people accepted Jesus. And oh, they were having a hallelujah time. A good time was had by all, because people realized they had a Savior and he had died for their sins and he had risen from the dead. And now miracles were happening. Amen. And the church was birthed. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 1.
Verse 1. "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them."
Uh-oh. This is the religious community. Now, you've heard the expression there, "No good deed goes unpunished." These are the church leaders who had Jesus crucified. Who are the Sadducees? That was one of the denominations. The Sadducees were the church leaders who did not believe in life after death. That made them sad, you see.
Verse 2, "being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead."
In other words, they were going to lose their church members and all the money they were making by lying to the people if people realized that Jesus had arisen from the dead.
3, "and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide."
Now keep in mind, these are the phony, baloney, plastic banana church leaders, scribes and Pharisees who had Jesus crucified. So they capture Peter and they capture John and they put them in prison. Now, this is not good. These are murderers. These are those who say they are beloved brother Judah, but they're the synagogue of Satan. These are the children of the devil, the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, descendants of Cain. So this is dangerous for Peter and John. They put them in prison.
4, "howbeit many of them which heard the word believed."
However, there were a whole bunch of people there who used to hear the Sadducees. They believed, and so they were very, very glad. You know, I used to have a friend who would come over and do some handiwork in my house, and I was witnessing to him. I said, "Why don't you come to my Bible class?" And he said, "Sherry, you're a true Christian. Christians are all right, but those church folks will kill you. So that's what Peter and John are facing here.
And the number of the men was about 5,000.
They added 5,000 right then and there.
Five. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, six, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas.
His name means depression.
And John and Alexander, and as many as were the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem.
All right. These are all the church leaders who had Jesus crucified. Now they're going to gather together. This is the church council, and they're going to bring Peter and John in the midst of them.
Seven. And when he had set them in the midst.
All right. They brought Peter and John. Now these are the actual church leaders. Understand, they're supposed to represent God. Now, what does that mean for you? We know that Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that these things happen in the Bible to these people, to Peter and John, for an example for those of us who are alive here at the end as the Antichrist appears. All right. At this point, Peter and John become a type of the very elect who are alive right now on planet Earth, that small group of Christians who are not going to be deceived by the soon coming Antichrist. All right? Now remember, Jesus said in Mark 13, what's going to happen? Brother's going to turn the brother to death, mother's going to turn the daughter to death, death's name is the devil. In other words, Jesus says, the members of the Christian church who believe that the Antichrist is Jesus, who are deceived by him, are going to turn in God's elect who are not deceived and bring them before the church council. So now Peter and John are a type of us, the elect, who are going to be delivered up by our own deceived Christian church members. They think they're doing a good job, and they're going to tell the devil, who's the Antichrist with his Jesus costume on, they don't believe you're Jesus, and of course he's not. So look at Peter and John. Now, don't be alarmed by this. Peter and John are going to show us how to do it.
They asked, by what power or by what name have you done this?
How in the world did you get this man healed? Did you use some kind of electrical rod and make him jump?
Eight. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh. Now, Peter's not going to say one word without the Holy Spirit speaking through him. Jesus says in Mark 13 and Luke 12, do not premeditate, elect, what you're going to say when the brothers and sisters of the deceived Christian church lift you up and bring you up before the church council and before the Antichrist. Let the Holy Spirit speak through you. Yield. And so see, right now, every Christian, this is the time. You don't need to play around anymore. Teenagers, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because if you're delivered up, if you do not let the Holy Spirit speak through you, that is unpardonable sin. It will not be forgiven in this life nor in the one to come. And he says, let the Holy Spirit speak through you. And you know what Jesus says in Mark 13? And whatever it is that the Holy Spirit says, the gospel will be heard in all the world. Yeah. See, we have the technology. The media is going to be there. And when the elect and everybody else is saying that the devil is Jesus and the devil is God and the few of us not, the whole world's going to be saying, ha, 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 look at them. And they're going to hear the gospel. I love that because the devil pays for the airtime.
Yeah. Said unto them, ye rulers of the people, and elders of Israel.
Okay, the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter.
Nine, if we this day, being examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man.
Now, if you've brought us to examine us for this good deed we've done, you know, no good deed goes unpunished.
By what means he is made whole.
You want us to tell you how the man was healed.
Ten, be it known unto you all
of you, the whole world, when the elect speak, the Holy Spirit speaks through elect, the entire world will hear the Holy Spirit speak through you, as everybody there in that area is hearing Peter now, you all.
and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified.
Whoa, you're the ones who crucified him.
Whom God raised from the dead.
Now, you know it's interesting because we're going to be speaking there to the Antichrist and the church leaders, the Christian church leaders who are going to turn us in. In a way, they will be crucifying Jesus. They love Jesus right now. They just don't get enough of Bible teaching. They don't know the book of Revelation to know that 6 comes before 7. In a way, they're going to be crucifying Jesus again because they will be worshiping the devil, calling himself Jesus.
Even by him doth this man stand here before you, whole. 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner.
Jesus Christ, the Rock of Ages, the immovable stone. You rejected him. You were supposed to be building the church, and you rejected him. And the deceived part of the Christian church, Matthew 25:5 are foolish, half of them are foolish. You are actually supposed to be building the church, and you're destroying the church. But look, he arose from the dead. Jesus is the head, and we, the real church, are the body.
Amen.
12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name in heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Now, I want everybody under the sound of my voice who's a real Christian, who really knows you're not here about your fun or your family or your job or your money or your occupation. You are here on an assignment to win souls to Jesus. I want you to memorize that, because these people to whom you witness, somebody's going to say, but I'm a very good person. And another person is going to say, but I don't murder, and I worship this God and I worship God. And then you say, no. The Bible says there's no other name given in heaven, given unto men, whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. So there's your witnessing verse. I suggest you memorize it.
13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John.
Now the boldness does not mean pride or arrogance. It means confidence. Here's what happens. When the Holy Spirit anoints a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, there's a truth, a confidence that comes in them. Even the enemies will begin to see, my God, there's something, there's an authority there. They're not saying, hey, I'm somebody, I know everything. It's just the truth just deletes all the lies. And even heathen people know when it's true. There's a confidence, and it's not arrogance. It's just authority. There's no other authority except the truth.
Amen.
I perceive that they were ignorant and unlearned men.
So the church leaders said, how in the world can they have such wisdom? They're not educated. They're blue-collar workers. They are fishermen. You know, the Bible says the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. And Proverbs 1:7 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I can tell you, I went to college a lot, but the only wisdom I claim to have is that I am in love with Jesus. I am saved. I am baptized with his spirit, and I have his word. You see, you're not smart a bit unless you're a saved, unless you know Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, the mystery of God, and unless you are baptized with the Holy Spirit and you are being what God sent you here to be.
Amen.
Then you're smart.
Yeah. They marveled.
They marveled. How could it be? They marveled. You see, listen to this.
And it took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
These heathen people who had crucified Jesus recognized, because the anointing was on them, and the anointing means Jesus paints himself on you. There's, wow, the Spirit of God is on them. Those people have been with Jesus. They recognize that. I can tell you from experience that even heathen people know if God is on you. I was teaching music in my other school in Cocoa, And my phone rang, and a man whose wife had died, and she had been my friend, he was grieving, and he called, and I started praying for her. There was a woman there of a Hindu religion. I hadn't had a chance to win her yet. I was still working on it. And she was listening. I said, excuse me, I've got to answer this. And I prayed for him, and the Holy Spirit came down. Now, she worships all those Hindu religions. And when I hung up, she looked at me. She was grasping her seat. She said, oh, God is all over you. She was screaming. I said, God, he's all over you. She was not a Christian. But you see, do you understand Amen. What a power you have? What a responsibility. Don't you go to sleep tonight until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit Amen. And you're speaking in his language and you're baptized fully with him. Amen. And then people will see Jesus in you and they will be converted. They will know that you've been with Jesus. Do people know that about you? Do you show it? Does his light shine through? Are you dead?
Amen. 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it.
That was proof in the pudding. He was the poster child. I mean, they had seen him for 40 years out there begging for money. He was crippled. I mean, what can you say?
15. But when they had commanded them to go aside.
All right. So the church leader said, Peter and John, you go stand over here. We're going to decide what to do with you. We're going to decide whether we're going to hang you or crucify you or cut your nose off.
After the council, they conferred among themselves, 16, saying, what shall we do to these men?
What can we do to them? They want to hang them, but they've got a little bit of a problem. Some of their own congregation have accepted Jesus.
For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done.
I mean, it is a miracle.
By them, and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem.
And everybody sees it.
And we cannot deny it. 17. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them.
Let's threaten them. Now, I want to tell you, when they're going to threaten Peter and John, they're not going to say, if you talk about Jesus anymore, we're going to make you do some community service. Threaten means we're going to beat you to a pulp and hang you upside down on a cross and kill you. In other words, this is the kind of threat they did. In other words, these are the people who crucified Jesus, and they are not kind. They are murderers.
That they speak henceforth to no man in this name. 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus.
Now, let's see how Peter and John are going to react to that. Remember, they just saw Jesus go up into the highly polished bronze vehicle, the cloud, the chariot of fire, and he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, whose report are they going to believe?
19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you, more than unto God, judge ye.
A little bit of sarcasm here. Peter says, now you're the church leaders. Do you think we ought to listen to God, or should we listen to you? Ha ha.
20. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and have heard.
We saw Jesus arisen 40 days. We heard him, and we can only speak the truth. See, something happens to you when you stop being a baby Christian and just going to church because you enjoy it. When you begin to understand why you're here and you walk into the mystery of God, it changes you forever. You just no longer are yourself. You have a new mission, a new purpose, a new energy.
21. So when they had fully threatened them, they let them go.
Okay, they threatened them. Don't overlook that word. That was not mild.
Finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done.
If they had killed Peter and John, they might have had a little bit of a riot, you know? We don't like riots, do we?
22. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was shown. 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said unto them.
Peter and John go back where the other apostles are there. There are also some other people there who have also given their life over to go and tell the gospel to every creature. So they go back and tell them. Now, everybody realizes now that Peter and John could have been killed, that they are on the enemy's hit list too. Now, watch how they react.
24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord.
One accord, no discord. You know why they're so strong? They are united. United we stand, one.
And said, Lord, thou art God.
Look at that. They realized that they could have killed Peter and John. They realized that now they're on the devil's hit list or the enemy's hit list. But instead of being saying, oh, Lord, the enemy's so bad. I mean, really, look at the riots. Look at that. Look what the police did. Look at this. Look at America. They said, Lord, you're God.
Amen.
Talk to God about God. Stop telling him about how bad everything is. God is all powerful. Tell him how great he is. Talk to God about God.
Hallelujah.
Which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that therein is.
And you are creator of heaven and earth. You are so much bigger than all of the confusion and the anarchy and all of the lies. You are God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world.
25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said.
Now, they're going to preach the word. We don't know which one's preaching here. Is it Peter? We don't know. They're going to preach the prophecy that David preached in Psalm chapter 2. Now, they're going to explain from the Bible what's just happened to them, but this will also explain what's happening in America right now.
Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? 26. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers are gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ.
All right. That's what David said in Psalm 2. In other words, they were saying that the heathen, these phony church leaders, the devil's camp, are rising up against the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want people to believe in Jesus. All of this that's gone on in America is the enemy, the Antichrist political system, and all of his people coming against America, God's people in America, to remove Jesus Christ from our land. That's why, while they can get together thousands of them in mob violence and burn businesses down, they said only 10 people can go to church or 100. You understand? So it's the same thing. The heathen are raging. Why are they doing it? It's because the devil's trying to shut up the voice of Jesus. But remember, Lord, you're God.
Amen.
27. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod with Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together.
Understand that President Trump is a Christian. His mother, a direct descendant from Scooter, which founded Scotland, and she came here a legal immigrant, and he selected, God chose him, he's a Christian. And when he walks from the Rose Garden or Lafayette, a place there, to St. John's Church carrying a Bible, only the heathen would rage against such a thing. But you see, it was because he was lifting up the Bible. That exposed it right then. All of this anarchy, all of this. Now, we're very sorry about George Floyd. That is bad. That is a sin problem, because no matter who you are, if you're a Christian, you don't judge people by the color of their skin. We know that. But see, it's not a police problem. It's a sin problem. And it's all of the devil and his camp coming against Jesus Christ in America. Amen. And that's what this is all about. Amen. The same thing that happened to Peter and John has happened to America. But remember, they won and we win. Amen.
Amen.
28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done.
They're still saying, God, you're still sovereign. Even though Jesus was crucified, you sent him to die. Jesus came to die. And of course, that was documented in Psalm 22. So God was sovereign then when Jesus died. And I tell you, America, God is sovereign right now. And so as we, his people, repent, turn from our wicked ways and seek his face, God will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sins and he will heal our lands. Jesus is Lord of America. The Bible is the book. God is still sovereign. God is still in control.
29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings.
Look how they're threatening us. Look what they're doing. They want to turn our country into a lawless place with no police protection and turn socialism to be our flag and our motto. Have mercy.
And grant to thy servants that with all boldness,
with all confidence,
they may speak thy word.
And elect, when we are delivered up to Antichrist, do not be afraid. Let the Holy Spirit speak through you the word of God. But I say now is the time. Everybody in America who's called of God, men, women, boys, and girls, it is time for you to open your mouth and preach Jesus to everybody you meet. God sent his son Jesus to save us from our sin. Jesus is Lord of America. The Bible is the book. Every one of you is supposed to be a minister of reconciliation. Go and reconcile. Reconcile. Bring them back to God through Jesus Christ. Go and tell. Open your mouth and speak the word of God. Amen. It's your obligation. It's your duty. It's your mission. It's your purpose.
30. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus.
Now, miracles are supposed to be a normal event in the real Christian church. It has been stolen from the church. Because remember, Jesus says that he's going to send one greater than himself. It's his spirit. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit can be everywhere all at the same time. And remember, Jesus says, greater things than I do, you can do because I go to the Father and you'll have the Holy Spirit. And remember, Jesus told us to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. In other words, once you become a real Christian, I don't mean those of you who just pretend to be, I mean real, you now have moved into a supernatural dimension. Amen. Because Jesus is Lord, he is King, and you're in his kingdom. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Miracles are natural. So we're going to, by the grace of God, pray that this will come back. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. Amen. The gift of miracles work. Body parts grow back. People come out of wheelchairs. Deaf ears hear. Cancers be gone. Amen. Hernias be gone. Disorder be gone. In Jesus' mighty name, dementia be gone. Amen. Be healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Glory
Amen.
To God. Amen. Miracles are supposed to be. And we're going to move that back by the hand of God, by being humble and being the church. And it's going to happen again. And people are going to know that there's a God in America.
Amen.
His name is Jesus.
Amen.
31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together.
When you pray in the Holy Spirit, not your old dead prayers and your nice sweet prayers, when the Holy Spirit prays through you, Holy Spirit shakes things up. Look how he shook things up. We prayed the other night, and I asked that the economy would be better than before the coronavirus, and look at that. The jobs are even better than that. See how quickly? Holy Spirit shook it up. Shake it up, shake it up. Pray it up, pray it up. Not bake and shake, but make and shake.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
Can you imagine if everybody who's a Christian in America would be baptized with the Holy Spirit, get off the throne and yield? Lord, have mercy. We could just win the world to Jesus.
Amen.
And they spake the word of God with boldness,
confidence, assurance, authority.
32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul.
And this is why miracles are there. The reason the church lost its miracles, we're divided. Paul says, have no schisms in the church. Schisms is denominations. Why in the world are we Baptists and Methodists and Catholics and Lutheran and all of that? There's just one Jesus. There's just one Bible. There's one Holy Spirit. This is ridiculous. United we stand. Amen. Church, forget your shingle there. Let's all come together in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the word of God. Amen. And we can take back America in one day. Amen. United we stand. That's why the miracles are there. We're going to come back to that.
Neither said any of them that ought of the things which he possessed as his own, but they had all things in common. 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus.
So there are a group of them there, the apostles and a few others there who were called. Now Jesus said, start there in Jerusalem, start preaching the gospel, then go to Judea, go to Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. So this one went this way and this one went that way. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, they preached the word.
A great grace was upon them all.
Unmerited favor.
34, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold. 35, and laid them down at the apostles' feet.
Now, nobody had said, give us your money. Actually, Jesus had said to Peter and John, and though he said, don't ever take a begging bag. Jesus does not send out beggars. What happened there? These people now realize they had a mission. What happens when you finally get to the point that you know why you're here? You forget those things which are behind you. You go forward there. In other words, they said, we're going to go to the whole world and preach the gospel. They didn't have airplanes. Most of the time they had to walk. They would be gone for years. So they said, well, I don't need my farm anymore. So they would sell that. I don't need my house anymore. I'll sell it, and then that'll give us all money, so at least we'll have food while we're ministering. Understand? But nobody's begging. Nobody's asking. It's a natural thing to do. You know, I did this many years ago, and I am so happy because, see, I'm not bound by money, but money comes to me when I need it for God's work, and I gave it all the way to do the word of God. And I am so thrilled. Oh, how free you are. Money doesn't have me, but I have money.
And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need.
Anybody needed some money there, they gave them some money. They took care of each other. These people were on a mission. See, in other words, once you find out where you are, you might quit that job. Now, I'm not telling anybody to quit your job, but in other words, you're not that person anymore. In other words, you thought you were supposed to have a career or a farm or money or do this job. Once you realize that you are a minister of reconciliation and God puts you in a place, then you say, wait a minute, that's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to do this. You understand?
Yes.
36. And Joseph, who was surnamed by the apostles Barnabas, which is interpreted the son of consolation.
Now remember the name Barnabas, because when the apostle Paul comes into the story, we're going to hear more of Barnabas. He was a very caring person.
A Levite.
Ah, he was of the tribe of Levi, priesthood. Okay, now he wasn't one of the 12 apostles, but he's called, chosen, and elected. And he's going to take the gospel also to the whole wide world.
And of the country of Cyprus, 37, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet.
In other words, I'm going with you. I'm going to take the gospel. I don't need this place anymore. It is so good when you can just say, I'll just move from this place, and I'll go to this place where you want me, God. In other words, that's gone. Thank you, Lord, for that. But here I am. I want every one of you to find out where, what, how God wants you to be, because you are not here about what you probably thought you were here. No matter what your age, where you are, who you are, there's a purpose and a plan for your life. And this moment, I'm asking you to ask God to show you and get in the place that God has for you. And let's church come together, one accord, no discord, Jesus is Lord. Fitly joined together, no one missing, no one broken, encouraging one another. And let's take back our country, America, for Jesus Christ. Amen. And to live by this Bible and let people know there is a Savior. God bless you.
Amen.
The stone
Amen.
Which the builders rejected builds his church, and he is now the head corner. Praise the Lord. I
Amen.
Hope you are blessed.
Amen.
When at this time, I'm going to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. Light us on fire tonight. Light us on fire.
Absolutely.
It's awesome.
Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Bow the heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thy arrows and destroy them. Send thy hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of the great waters from the hands of strange children whose mouths speak vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehoods. Psalms 144, 5 through 8.
Fantastic. The Bible says that lightning is God's arrows. Did you notice that lightning storm when they came against the White House? That was God's arrows protecting President Trump. That's what you might like to know. You learn to recognize God's hand in everything. In a moment, I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick. But anybody who's not saved, let's get you saved right now. Pray this and mean it, and God will save you. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all of my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I repent of them all. Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit. Grow me in your word. And let me be a minister of reconciliation. To bring many people. To the heart of Jesus. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Any one of you who accepted the Lord, then in a few moments my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. I invite you to call and leave that message on my voicemail and I will pray with you. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask the laser beams of Jesus' healing virtue go into the bowel area, the upper intestine and the lower intestine, the colon. I ask that there will be divine order. Let there be perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect elimination. Any obstruction there, let it be. Let there be just complete divine order. Restore health and cure. Divine order, divine timing, divine fluidity there in Jesus' mighty name. Heal, repair anything that's broken, unblock anything that's blocked, and let everything be restored back. Heal of the wounds, restore health and cure in the mighty name of Jesus. The whole digestive system, the lungs and the throat, the esophagus, all of that be healed. Cancer be gone from lungs. Cancer be gone from ribs. Cancer be gone, period, in Jesus' mighty name. Diabetes be gone in the name of Jesus. Arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Arthritis be gone. Bone disease be gone. Be healed in Jesus' name. He said his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Glory to God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. We all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Death and life's in the power of the tongue. Confess your healing, and God will honor that. Now, nothing is given to you to keep, so be sure to go and tell and win souls to Jesus. You learned part of your purpose here. You're supposed to be winning souls. You're supposed to be reconciling people back to God. Now let me bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock. I love you and I thank you for loving the God I love. We're going to have a good time in heaven together, aren't we? In the meantime, I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the
Trumpet
of Truth.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
The day is brighter here with you. The night is lighter than it's you. Would lead me to a which needs me to love. You make everything glorious. Yeah, you make everything glorious. Oh, you make everything glorious. And I am yours. What does that mean?
This is Daryl Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
Water of life, what if I said I was thirsty? Bread of life, what if I said I was hungry? your spirit on me, Lord. Would your glory fall like the water fills the sea? Living water, cover me, flood my heart with every single beat. All you are is all I'll ever need. I love you, I love you.
Your glory. morning if you wake up and the sun does not appear. I will be here. If in the dark we lose sight of love, hold my hand and have no fear. 'Cause I will be here. I will be here when you feel like being quiet, when you need to speak your mind. I will listen and I will be here when the laughter turns to crying, through the winning, losing and trying, we'll be together. 'Cause I will. Tomorrow morning if you wake up and the future is unclear, I will be here. Just as sure as the seasons were made for change, our lifetimes were made for these years. So I will be here. I will be here so you can cry on my shoulder. When the mirror tells us we're older, I will hold you and I will be here to watch you grow in beauty and tell you all the things you mean to me. I will be here. I will be true to the promise I have made to you and to the one who gave you to me. And just as sure as the seasons were made for change, our lifetimes were made for these years. So I will be here, we'll be together. Oh yes we will, 'cause I will be here. I will be
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
Thank you.